Dear Lord, we also pray for our reading today as we read your word. We ask you, Lord, that you open up our hearts and minds, that as we hear your word, that we hear your voice and your spirit at work in our lives, challenging us and encouraging us. We pray that the words spoken, expounding upon your word, are those words that you desire, that your spirit may be blessed and our spirit may be more yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 14. Hear now God's word. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices, and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek or Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, I have a lot, of course, but one of my very favorites is from Genesis. First three chapters of Genesis inform a whole lot about who God is and who we are in that presence, in that understanding of God. Now, when I was in college, I did not go in with the attitude of, gee, I really am looking forward to be challenged in my life. Instead, when I chose my classes for college, I went with, what classes can I skate through and still have the social life that I desire? So, of course, I chose pottery. Loved pottery. It was one of the best classes that I took. Not because it was easy, it was challenging, although I did quite well. I loved it because of the creative factor in it. We were able to make anything we wanted. And we learned how to make a lot of things. Plates, bowls, vases. And then for our final project, we could make, sky's the limit. I made a giant torso with a baby head. I really wish I still had a picture of it. It was the coolest thing in the world, although it looked weird. It was a lot of fun. But one thing I learned, that when I made pottery, I wasn't very good. I'll just put that out there. I still have some of the pieces, and they're atrocious. But they're mine, and I made them. And no one can make the kind of pottery that I could make. No one would want to. But it was mine. You know why it was mine? Because I made it. Because when I made it, I put within it my own thoughts of what I thought that a piece of pottery should look like, what a plate should look like. And that was combined with my ability to do so, which was combined with my patience, which was combined with whatever else is from me. And so, if you and I were to sit down side by side and have one lump of clay, and make something out of that lump of clay, would be totally different, because we would be putting ourselves into that lump of clay. when I think about creation, there's a story in Genesis chapter 2, starting with verse 4 and moving on, of God creating. Creating in such a way that most people would create pottery. The Greek word is the word form, or the English word is form. And that Greek word was the same word used for pottery. God formed Adam. Adam, the Hebrew word for Adam is Adam, which is best translated, you love this one, mud man. He just created a mud man. All Adam was. Adam was a man of the earth, created from the earth and from the dirt. And so we picture, I picture anyway, God kneeling down in the dirt, getting his knees dirty, putting his hands and his fingers in the clay and molding and shaping based upon who God is, what God's experience is, what God thinks humanity should look like. Making the eyes, the ears, the hair, creating the nose, saying, no, no, that's not quite right. And then making a new nose, all the way down. Adam was lovingly sculpted in what God thought humanity should look like. And what God thought we should look like, we are created in God's understanding. So we have within us a bit of God. Sorts. God's imagination, God's love, God's creativity, God's ideas. All because God created us. And once God created Adam, God wasn't done with Adam. Because when you create something, you hardly ever create something out of hatred or malice. You create something out of love and out of a desire to see it to its completion. And so God continued. Even though Adam was now up and walking and doing whatever it is Adam did, God saw that Adam was unhappy. And so God brought all the animals to Adam to see if Adam would like any of the animals. Well, Adam liked the animals, but not in such a way that Adam became complete, fulfilled. And so God continued with God's creation and created Eve. And then now Adam was happy and said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And so Adam and Eve were hanging out in the garden. And there's rules. There's always rules. Wherever you go, there's limits and there's rules to what we can and can't do. And so in the garden, it's the same thing. And of course, God said, you can eat of this tree, but you can't eat of this tree. Now, many of us have had some experience in our life with children one way or another. And you know how it goes. You tell a child not to do something, and that's all they can think about doing. Growing up, my mom had a box of cereal that we weren't allowed to eat. She bought her own box. It was Raisin Nut Bran. Remember Raisin Nut Bran? I don't see it much anymore. It had the raisins were covered with kind of this nut brand sort of thing. Mom bought that every time she went shopping. And mom and dad said, that does not belong to you. Well, I'll tell you, there were some times when mom pulled herself a bowl of cereal and there were no raisins left in that box. We would just eat it while she wasn't looking. Because when you tell a kid not to do something, it's all they can think about doing. There was this tree. It looked good. It didn't take much for the serpent to change their minds about eating it. And so they did. And with breaking rules, there's punishment. But I love this. God still wasn't done with his creation yet. God didn't say, you guys messed up, so I'm done with you. In the course of them messing up, they recognized that they were naked and they were ashamed of it. They didn't like being naked. And so God, because of our sin, God made the first sacrifice and killed some animals and made animal skin so that they would not be naked anymore. Now, continue with history. Humanity has continued to do the best it can, and it doesn't do so hot. We mess up, God continues to be there. Finally, it got to a point where God said, all right, no more. I will make one more sacrifice. And it will be me. I will sacrifice me. And through me, you will know life. And so God gave his son Jesus. And through Christ, we are made whole. Now in the letter to the Colossians, Paul says just this. That when through Christ you die to your old self. You die to the sinful self. You die to that self that desires the pleasures of this world. And so life has to be different. Something has to change. And so Paul is constantly arguing in his letters to stop doing things. Here's Paul for you. He says, stop fornication, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, and do not any longer have anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language. Don't lie to each other. Did you know that child psychologists have told parents for ages now, do not say the words do not to your child? You ever heard that? You ever heard it? When you want a child not to do something, you don't tell them not to do it. I get this. I understand this. If you want a child not to cross the street, don't tell them, do not cross the street. What are they going to want to do? Cross the street. It's because the way we think, and it doesn't go away when you're done being a child. It's still there. When someone tells you not to do something, first you have to imagine yourself doing it in order for you to imagine yourself not doing it. We're very visual people. Jesus had the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount, which wasn't necessarily geared towards kids. When he was talking, he said, you've heard it said, do not commit adultery. Right? We can all pretty much agree you shouldn't sleep with other people's people. Not a good idea. Jesus says, I tell you, do not look at a woman with lust in your heart. He's taking it a bit further because you know that there are people out there that said, well, at least I haven't slept with somebody else. And then their wife says, yeah, but you were staring at that woman pretty hard. Because we try to go all the way up as close as we can to that thing that we're not allowed to do, but we break a whole lot of things getting there. We can say, at least we didn't kill so-and-so. Yeah, but you punched him pretty hard. There's a problem with that. You tell someone not to do something, and all they can do is think about doing it. So, Paul changed tactics. I love this tactic. If you want a child not to cross the street, what should you tell them? Stay on this side of the road. Stay in the yard. If you want a child to eat the right things, what do? Feed them the right things. Eat an apple. Instead of saying, don't eat a candy bar. Mom, Dad, what can I have for lunch? Don't eat a candy bar. We need a bit more direction than that. And so Paul says this. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves instead with compassion, with kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgive them. And above all, clothe yourself with love. My favorite pop is Mountain Dew. Love Mountain Dew. Especially when I'm going on a long car ride, I need to drink Mountain Dew. Keeps me awake. But there is a such thing as having too much Mountain Dew. And it can be a little tempting to have Mountain Dew. If I have a glass, and I fill that glass to the top of Mountain Dew, and I'm going to drink from that glass, I can't have anything else but Mountain Dew because that's what I put in it. I could say to myself, I'm not allowed to drink Mountain Dew, so do not drink that glass. But the glass is there and it's full, and it's hard to not do that. What should I do instead? Empty that glass and fill it with water. Because once that glass is filled with water, I can't put anything else in it. Sure, I can dump it out again, but
I'm awfully thirsty and it's filled with something good, so I'm more likely to drink it. Paul's saying this: if you clothe yourself and you live in such a way with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, you bear with one another your complaints and you forgive one another, and you live above all with love, you push that other stuff out. When you have humility and kindness to someone, you can't at the same time kill them, because you're living with kindness and love. God shows us how to live, gives us options and encouragement to live in those ways. It's so, oftentimes we find ourselves when we're up with someone who's yelling us in our face, and we say to ourselves over and over and over again, please don't swear at this person, please don't swear at this person, please don't swear at this person, because we would like to swear at that person. I pray that God changes our heart to say instead, please love this person. Please love this person. Please love this person. Because in doing that, we start with love. And I pray that we continue with love. Being Christians, being dead in Christ and then rising again with Christ, means that how we live matters. Means that Christ changed our lives. I pray that when people see us in our lives and the lives that we live and the way that we live towards one another, that they see the love of Christ first. Because I'll tell you what, and you know this already, the message that we get in this world is opposite. If someone wrongs you, you wrong them back. If someone says something belittling to you, you belittle them back. If someone gets on social media and jumps all over you for something you did wrong, you find something in their past that they did wrong and you bring it to light. That's the message we're receiving. I pray we don't live that way, but that we live in love, clothing ourselves with humility, passion, and kindness, and we start living that way here. And in our families, and with our friends, and with total strangers, so that we can challenge those around us, and that they can know love as Christ knows love.